You're on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. So the Gemara says, Ela Hadisnan, Matza Tachrich Shel Shtaros, O Aguda Shel Shtaros, Hareza Yachzir, Hachinami, Denechali Lelova, La Ahadure Lelamalve. So yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing this question about whether Simanin de Oraisa or Simanin de Rabbanan. This notion that the person who lost the item can simply present the Simon and reclaim his item based on that identifying feature. Is that a din de Oraisa or is that a din de Rabbanan? So the Gemara now attempts one final proof at this based on a Mishnah that we also alluded to a little bit yesterday. It's a Mishnah we saw back on Daf Chaf at the end of the first Perek. That says the following. Let's say Reuven finds a bundle of shtaros or a roll of shtaros, and some guy comes, the person who is the subject of the shtaros, and identifies the shtaros in that way. He says, I lost a bundle or I lost a roll of shtaros. So the Mishnah back on Daf Chav told us that Reuven can return the shtaros based on that identifying feature. Now the question is, asks the Gemara, if all of this whole discussion, this whole notion that I'm going to return the lost shtaros based on his identifying feature of a roll or a bundle of shtaros, it's only because it's going to be in the best interest of the Lovah. Well, clearly it's not in the Lovah's best interest to have this guy get his shtaros back, because now he's going to be able to reclaim the money that's owed to him by the Lovah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela amar Rava simanin d'oraisa d'chsiv v'haya imecha ad d'rosh achichoso v'chisala al daitcha sheyitenenu kodem sheyidreshenu ela d'rshehu imramayhu o eno ramay. So the Gemara says, obviously, you see from here, and again, we already kind of mentioned this point a little bit yesterday, which is that the concept of simanin, of presenting these identifying features and then reclaiming the item, is a din d'oraisa. What's the source for the din d'oraisa? It's a pasuk we also referenced yesterday from Parashas Ki Tzeitzei, v'haya imecha ad derosh achicha oso. The item that you found will remain in your possession until your brother, your colleague, comes and inquires of it and claims the item from you. So the Gemara says, of course, it's until he claims it. You're not going to go and give an item up to someone who's not coming knocking on your door for the item. So the Gemara says, no, you see from here that you have to inquire to make sure that the person is not a swindler, that he's not trying to cheat the system and claim an item that's not his. How exactly do you do that? It must be with simanin. So this is the source that simanin is d'oraisa. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, imtim se lomar simanin d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, hang on a second, imtim se lomar hapashit le simanin d'oraisa. So before Rava even gets a word in edgewise, the Gemara pumps the brakes. Rava says, if you're going to tell me that Simanin is d'oraisa, the question is, what do you mean? If you're going to tell me, we just got through establishing from all of yesterday and the beginning of today's daf that, of course, Simanin is d'oraisa. We just quoted a pasuk 2 seconds ago in the Gemara proving that Simanin is d'oraisa. Why does the Gemara present it as only a possibility? So the Gemara says, no, mishum de'ika le'memar kiddushanina, because of all of the questions we threw at the Gemara from yesterday to, you know, potentially deflect that position that maybe really Simanin is only d'rabanan. So if you're going to argue that Simanin is d'oraisa, which again is the way that we paskin, Simanin v'simanin yaniach, Simanin v'e Eidim, yinasin leval ha'idim, simanin, v'simanin ve'erechad, erechad keman delesei dami v'yaniach. The Gemara presents several scenarios here where you have basically conflicting information. Let's say multiple people are now coming to you to claim that this item is there. So how exactly are you ever supposed to know who the true owner of the item is? So the Gemara says, in a case where, let's say, Reuven and Shimon both come knocking on your door, each of them present the simanin. They say the Rolex watch has a dent over here, has a scratch over there, whatever it is. So if they're each presenting simanin, you can't give it to either of them because simanin are on par with one another. You have to keep the item in your possession unless one of them can bring more concrete evidence. If one of them presents simanin, the other brings eidim to testify that yes, this is his item, then obviously you give it to the one who brings the eidim. However, the Gemara presents a third scenario. Let's say they both bring simanin, but one of them also brings an eid echad. So an eid echad in most areas of halacha, as we know, is basically meaningless. So we basically ignore the fact that he brings an eid echad, and still the item remains in the possession of the one who found it. Then the Gemara presents another scenario: eidei ariga ve'eidei nefila tinasein le'eidei nefila. The Amrinan Zavune Zavna Ume Inish Acharina Nafa. Imagine the following. Two guys are coming, Reuven and Shimon are coming to claim that this garment is theirs, but one person, let's say Reuven brings Edim that the garment was woven for him, and Shimon brings Edim that the garment fell from him. So it's possible, says the Gemara, that neither of them are technically lying. It's just that we're going to believe Shimon, the one who brings the Eidei Nefila, the Eidim who say that the garment fell, because it's possible that Reuven maybe made the beged, he made the garment, that he sold it to Shimon. So it's very possible that Reuven, that he has Eidim that the beged was woven for him, but ultimately he sold it, and therefore we give the garment to Shimon. Then the Gemara says, Midas Arko Umidas Rachbo, Tinasin Lemidas Arko, Demidas Rachbo Shiuri Kamisharla Kan Mechasi Lamaravakai, Umidas Arko Lomishtarla. Then the Gemara says, let's say Reuven gives gives you the length of the garment, and Shimon gives you the width of the garment, then you give the garment to Reuven. Why is that? The Gemara says because it's much easier to approximate the width of a garment than it is to approximate the length. When someone is wearing a garment, says the Gemara, it's you can kind of eyeball and figure out the width, but it's much harder to approximate the length, and therefore if it gives you the accurate length, that's a much better indication that he really owns the garment. Similarly, the Gemara says, Midas Arko, Umidas Rachba, Umidas Gamav, Yinasein Lemidas Arko, Lemidas Arko Verachba. Let's say Reuven presents both the length and the width of the garment, but Shimon presents the Midas Gamav. That's a reference to the Greek letter Gamma, which is a combination of the length and the width, but he doesn't know the specific breakdown of the length and the width, so then obviously Reuven is going to win out, because he has more accurate information of the length and the width individually, as opposed to Shimon, who just has that, you know, combined number. Then the Gemara presents the third case, Midas Arko, Umidas Rachba, Umidas Mishkalosav, Yinasein Lemidas Mishkalosav. If Reuven is able to present the length and the width, but Shimon is able to present the weight of the garment, that's much more, that information is much more accurate, and again, Shimon would win out in that case. Then the Gemara presents another scenario. Who Omer Simane Haget, Vihi Omeres Simane Haget, Yinasein La. So let's say you have the following case. You have a get that was lost. The husband is claiming he never delivered the get to his wife. The wife is claiming she just dropped the get, but she was already given the get. She's already divorced. And each of them are presenting simanin. So the Gemara says, you give the get to the wife. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case here exactly? B'mai. Ilema b'midas arko v'rachbo dilma b'hadi d'nuket lechazisi. It can't be that the wife is presenting the length and the width of the get, because it's very possible that she simply saw the length and the width, or she was able to approximate the length and the width when her husband was holding on to the get. That's not an indication that the get was actually ever delivered to her. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela nek of yeshbo betzad os ploni. If the wife says that there's a hole next to this specific letter in the get, that's an obvious indication that she was actually holding the get in her possession, not simply that she saw the outside of the get. And the Gemara has a similar case. Hu omer simane hachud, vihi omeres simane hachud inasila. Similarly, if both the husband and wife give simanin regarding the string upon which the get is tied, so then you give the get to her. And again, the Gemara asks, "B'mai ilema b'chivra uvesumka v'dilma b'hadi dinaket lechazise." If the wife says, "Oh yeah, the get had a red string tied to it, had a white string tied to it," so again, that's not a raya that the get was given to her. She might have just seen it while the husband was holding on to the get. So the Gemara says, "You're right, ela b'midas arko." It must be that the wife is presenting the length of the get, the length of the string. That's not something that she would know unless she actually held onto the get, because if the husband was holding onto it, the string would have been folded over. And finally, the Gemara says, "Hu omer b'chafisa v'hi omeres b'chafisa yinasein lo mai taima meida yada dechoma deisle b'chafisa hu demanachle." If both the husband and the wife say that the get was placed inside of some sort of a case or a container, so then the get goes back to the husband. Why is that? Because that's almost a cop out answer. Because the wife knows that the husband places all of his important documents and important items inside of this container, inside of this case. So the fact that she says, "Oh yeah, the get was inside of the chafisa in the container," it's not really a proof to anything, because the husband places everything there, so that doesn't indicate that the get was ever actually delivered to her. Okay, asks the Mishnah. V'yad masai chayav lahachriz, ad kidei sheyadu bo shechina of divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer shalosh regalim, v'achar haregal ha'acharon shiva yamin, kidei sheyelich leveso shlosha, v'yachzor shlosha, v'yachriz yomecha. The Mishnah presents a machlokas. We've been discussing for the majority of this parak, the scope and the extent of the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. When does the mitzvah apply? When does it not apply? So imagine you have an item that you have an obligation to announce. There's a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. The question is, for how long does this mitzvah apply? Do I have to now go announce every day for the next 50 years that that some guy lost an item? Is there ever a cutoff point? So according to Reb Meir, he says you only have to announce ad kidei sheyadu bo shechinah until the neighbors know about it. Again, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Rabbi Yehuda says that the obligation to announce only applies for the next 3 regalim plus 7 days after the 3rd regal to give people enough time to travel back and forth from Yerushalayim back to where they are and to make the announcement. So the Gemara explains, Tana, Shechinah Aveda. When Rabbi Meir said that you have to announce until the neighbors know about it, that means the neighbors of the Aveda. So what does that mean? My Shechinah Aveda. If it means that the neighbors of the guy who lost the item, well, if they know where the item is, let them just return the item back to the guy who lost it. So the Gemara says, no, it means the people who live in the vicinity of the place in which the item was lost. Those people who live in that area, once they're informed of the fact that there was an item lost within their vicinity, so according to Reb Meir, you have satisfied your obligation of announcing, and you no longer have to go and make these proclamations. Then we said Reb Yehuda Omer. Reb Yehuda disagreed, and he said you have to make a proclamation for 3 regalim plus 7 days after the final regal to give people enough time to get back and forth from Yerushalayim. So asks the Gemara Ureminu b'shlosha b'mar cheshvan shaval in esak shamim Rabban Gamliel Omer b'zayin bo tesvav yom achar achag k'dei she'agia acharon sheva eret Yisrael l'nahar pras. The Gemara makes reference to a very famous Mishnah that appears in Maseches Tainis, where the Mishnah presents a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabban Gamliel regarding what date does Eretz Yisrael begin reciting the Saint Talumatar Levracha. According to the Tanakama, they begin reciting the Saint Talumatar on the third day of Mar Cheshvan, and according to Rabban Gamliel, which is the way that we paskin here in Eretz Yisrael, you start saying it on Zion Mar Cheshvan. What's the logic behind that? Because Zion Mar Cheshvan, says the Gemara in Tainis, is 15 days after the conclusion of Sukkot / Simchas Torah, giving people enough time to get to the furthest reaches of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the people who were coming to do Aliyah L'Regel, who lived the furthest away, they needed to get home before the rain started to fall. So this Shita of Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah in Tainis seems to imply that the furthest trip from Yerushalayim to the furthest reaches of Eretz Yisrael would actually take 15 days, not a mere 3 days, as our Mishnah seems to imply. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Yosef lo kashya, kan b'mikdash rishon, kan b'mikdash sheni, b'mikdash rishon, d'nefishe Yisrael tuva, d'chsiv behu Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim k'chol asher al hayam larov, b'inan kulei hai, b'mikdash sheni, d'lo nefishe Yisrael tuva, d'chsiv behu kol ha'kahol ke'echad arba ribo alpayim shalosh meyos v'shish comes Rav Yosef with the following resolution, that the way to resolve our Mishnah versus the Mishnah in Tainis is basically a historical difference. It depends if we're talking about Bias Rishon or Bias Sheni. Why does that make a difference? So the Gemara explains that during Bias Rishon, there were significantly more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael than during the times of Bias Sheni. And as a result, says Rav Yosef, the roads were much more congested. It took a lot longer to get back to where you were from. So therefore, during the times of Bias Rishon, when there were hundreds of thousands of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, it took 15 days to get from Yerushalayim to the furthest reaches of Eretz Yisrael. In contrast, during Bias Sheni, when the Pasuk in Sefer Ezra tells us that there were a mere 42,360 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, which is a paltry number compared to the people who were there during Bias Rishon, it only took 3 days to get to the furthest reaches of Eretz Yisrael. That's one possibility. So, Amar Le'abaye, V'hachsiv, V'yeshivu HaKohanim, V'halvim, V'hamishorim, V'hashorim, V'chol Yisrael, B'yarehem, V'chevan, D'hachihu, Ipcha Mistab, Nikdash Rishon, Dinafisha Yisrael Tuva, Demitseves Alma, Umishtak Shai Rasa, Da Azli, Bain Biamama Uvain Belelia, Loba Inan Kulehai, Visagi, Bislasa Yome, Nikdash Shani, Delo Nafisha Yisrael Tuva, Velo Mitseves Alma, Velo Mishtak Shai Rasa, Da Azli, Bain Biamama Uvain Belelia, but Inan Kulehai. So comes Abaye and flips everything that Rav Yosef just said on his head. Rav Yosef was trying to argue that because there was a severe population decrease from Bias Rishon to Bias Sheni, the roads were much less congested during Bias Sheni, and therefore people could get home a lot faster. So Abaye says the exact opposite is true. He says that Bias Rishon, because there were so many people here, so the transit systems were running much better. It was much easier to get back. There were caravans going back and forth all the time. In Bias Sheni, there was hardly anyone in Eretz Yisrael, so it took a lot longer to get back. That's Abaye's basic argument. Rava Amar, Lo Shna B'Mikdash Rishon, V'Lo Shna B'Mikdash Sheni, Lo Hitshrichu Rabban Ba'aveda Yoser Midai. Comes Rava and says it doesn't make a difference, historically speaking, whether we're talking about Bias Rishon or Bias Sheni. The bottom line is that Chazal did not want to cause the Motzei Aveda, the person who found the lost item, did not want him to exert himself unnecessarily, that he has to now spend, you know, months and years holding on to this item. So they came up with a limit, they came up with a cap. They said, okay, you have to announce for the 3 regalim, and then for the week after, and that's it, and then call it a day. Amar Ravina, Shmamina, Kimachris, Glima Machris. So Ravina infers from the statement of Rava that when the Motzei Aveda, the person who finds the lost item, makes his proclamation, I found item X, so he has to announce the item in a very, very specific manner. He doesn't just say, I found a lost item, now you have to come and tell me what it is. He actually announces the fact that he found a glima, a cloak. In other words, he's much more specific in terms of what he found. The isalka daitach aveda machriz, because if you're going to argue that the motze aveda makes this very general statement that he just found a lost item without specifying what he found, the problem is, but inan lemitve lechad yoma laayune b'mane, ela shmamina, glima machriz shmamina. Ravina says, if it were true that Chazal would insist that the motze aveda give this much more general proclamation that I found a lost item without specifying that it was a cloak that he found, so then, in other words, Chazal would have had to tack on an extra day to give the people a chance to start rifling through their possessions to figure out what exactly they lost. The fact that Chazal said, we're going to give you 3 days to travel home, give you 1 day to make your announcement, and then that's it. After that 1 day, you're good to go. You've done your due diligence. You're no longer responsible for making any sort of proclamations in the realm of Hashavas Aveda, means that when you made that announcement, you give, you know, this very specific information that I found a cloak. Because if you were going to give the more general line, I found a lost item, so you would have to account and you would have to add on extra days to give people a chance to figure out what exactly they lost. Then Rava pushes back on. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
He's making the announcement in Yerushalayim.
No. He's not making the announcement in Yerushalayim. Again, the case is that he has to announce for 3 regalim, and the Rebbe said he makes an announcement for 7 days after the 3rd regal, right? Because the Mishnah said he needs 3 days to get there, 3 days to get, and then 3 days to get back, and then 1 day as a proclamation. In other words, that 1 day. So the Gemara is saying that if the Motze Aveda was going to make this general statement that he just lost an item, he found an item without saying what it was, so then presumably Chazal should give the guy more than 1 day, because they should, you know, give people time to figure out what exactly they lost. The fact that we're only given... So, okay, so we're going to talk about this a little bit on the next stuff, that there was like a centralized location that people came to that was basically a glorified lost and found, that people who found things and lost things would come together and they would figure that out. But for right now, all the Gemara is basically saying is that at least according to Ravina, we're just saying, in terms of the way the proclamation is issued, it has to be specific, because otherwise you have to give the person more time to figure out what he lost. However, Rava Amar, Afilu Tema Aveta Machriz, Lo Etrichu Rabbanam Ba'Avida Yotzim, Rava rejects this point. Rava deflects Ravina, and he says, it's not true. You can even argue that the Motzei Aveda only has to make this very general proclamation. I found the lost item. In other words, he doesn't have to start to get into the specifics of what exactly he found. And the reason why Chazal only basically made him make this proclamation for that 1 day is because they didn't want to be matriachim too much. The guy has already been making these announcements for the last 3 regalim. Okay, so basically, you know, Chazal are saying, give the guy a break. So he's been announcing for 3 regalim. Now he's traveled back. We're going to make him do it for 1 more day, and then that's it. Once he does that 1 more day, he's Yotze Hischi. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Regel Rishon, Omer Regel Rishon. Regel Sheni, Omer Regel Sheni. Regel Shlishi, Omer Stam. So again, as we just pointed out, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, you have to make these proclamations for 3 regalim. So the question is, how exactly do you make these proclamations? What do you say? How do you indicate to the people listening who may have lost an item, in other words, what regel you're up to? In other words, how are they supposed to know how many times you've made this proclamation in the past? So if it's the first regal, let's say you just found the item 3 days ago, and now it's the first regal since you found the item. So you say regal rishon. This is the first regal that I'm making the announcement. And the same for the second. You say regal sheni. But for the third, you just say regal. Why do you just say regal? Ve'amai lema regal shlishi. Why not just say the 3rd regal? Delo asei lechluf b'sheni. Because in Hebrew, the word sheni and shlishi, if you're not listening carefully, could be conflated, so people might get confused. So the Gemara says, okay, sheni nami asei lechluf b'rishon. Why can't you confuse the second and the first regal? So the Gemara says, no, haka asei regal shlishi. Because even if you do confuse it, you have a 3rd regal to come back to anyway. So you still have another regal to be able to potentially reclaim your item. And then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Barishona, ko misha matza avida, haya machriz aleha shlosha regalim, v'achar regal acharon, shivas yamim, kidei sheyilich shlosha v'yachzor shlosha v'yachriz yom echad. So initially, the halacha in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda presented was accurate. Namely, you would make these proclamations for 3 regalim, plus an additional week after the 3rd regal, to give people a chance to get back home, to go look through their items, to make that proclamation for 1 last day, and figure out what exactly he lost. However, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash She'ibana B'mehira V'yameinu Hiskinu She'yehu Machrizim B'vatei Kinesios U'v'vatei Midrashos. But then once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, says the Gemara, Chazal instituted that you should make these proclamations in a more public setting, in a shul, in a Beis Medrash. U'misharabu ha'anasim, once the oppressors increase, we'll see in a second who exactly these oppressors are, Hiskinu sheyuhu modi'in l'shchinav u'lemiyudav v'dayo. Chazal then instituted a third, basically a third gradation within the realm of these proclamations of Hashavas Aveda, that you basically just have to inform the neighbors and the associates and the friends of the person who lost the item or the area where the item was found, and that would be sufficient. So asks the Gemara, "Ma'ani sharabu ha'anas?" What did the Gemara mean when it said that the oppressors increased? The Gemara says, "The amre aveta lemalka," that there was a certain time period where apparently the king made a decree that any lost items that you found were basically just seized by the king. In fact, the Gemara quotes the following story. Rabbi Ami Ashkach Odaya de Dinre. One time Rabbi Ami found a vessel full of coins. Chaze Hahu Barnash de Kamirta. So there was this Roman officer that saw that he was nervous, he was scared to take the coins because he thought that there was this decree that the king is going to seize any lost items that were found. So Amar Le, so the Roman officer said to him, "Don't worry about it. Zil Shkolin Ashach, the Lab Parsayanan, the Amri Avitil Malki." He says, "Don't worry about it. We're not like the Persians. The Persians, they have this law that the king grabs all the lost items, but us, the Romans, were nice. The Romans let you keep any lost items that you find." Okay, then we're just Tadu Rabbanan. Evan Toein Haisa B'Yerushalayim. This is going back to Danny's point from before. There was this stone, there was this rock that was located in Yerushalayim. It was known as the Evan Toein, literally the claimant's rock or the claimant's stone. Kol Misha Avdalo Aveda Nifna L'Sham, V'chol Misha Motze Aveda Nifna L'Sham. Ze Omeinu Machriz, V'ze Omei V'Nosein Simonin V'Notla. V'Zohi Shesharinu Tse'u Re'u Im Nimches Evan Atoein. This, again, was, as we alluded to earlier, was basically a glorified lost and found. People would come, they would announce, "I found this, I lost this," and then the guy who lost it would give the simon, he would take the item, and he would go home. And the Gemara alludes to a very famous Gemara from Maseches Tainis in the story of Choni Amagel, after the rain came, so they said, "Go and check the Evan HaToin, go and look at the claimant's rock to see if the rock is still around, or if it dissolved because of the excess of rain." Okay, says the Mishnah. The finder would bring it to this. He had to bring it with him, and then he would make it. Or maybe he had the item back at home, and then I don't know if the people live near each other, whatever. They would make some kind of an arrangement. So the Mishnah says, "Amar esa aveda velo amar simaneha lo yitemo." So if the guy just says, you know, he found an item, in other words, let's say he even correctly identifies the item that the finder found. Let's say he says, "I lost a watch," but he doesn't give any simanim. He just says, "I lost a watch." So that's not good enough. You can't give the guy an item back if he doesn't provide anything more specific than that. The Haramai afal pisha amar simaneha lo yitemo shene amar ad derosha chicha oso. But if a person is a Ramai, if he's a swindler, if he's a trickster, so then even if he provides a simon, you can't return it to him. As we keep on pointing out, you need to scrutinize the person. You have to assess and figure out whether he's a Ramai. Again, the Gemara is going to explain exactly how you do that. Itmar, Rav Yehuda Amar, Aveda Machriz, Rav Nachman Amar, Glima Machriz. Again, this is a machlokes that we just alluded to in the earlier Gemara about how general or specific does the proclamation have to be. Do you just say, "I found a lost item," or do you say, "No, I found a cloak, I found something more specific"? Rav Yehuda Amar, Aveda Machriz, Dei Amar, Glima Machriz, Cheshin Al Rama. Again, if you're going to get too specific, says Rav Yehuda, you're going to start saying, "Oh, I found a cloak," that's ripe for being fooled, because the guy who's potentially a swindler is going to figure out a way to tell you that he lost the cloak, and he'll give you some kind of a simon, and then he'll be able to reclaim the item. Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machriz L'Ramai Lo Chayshinan De'im Kein Ein L'Davar Sof. And Rav Nachman was not concerned for that. Rav Nachman said, you know, in other words, you can't live in a society where, you know, you're constantly worried that every guy who's coming to claim a lost item is potentially a swindler. If you don't have evidence to assume that the guy is a Rama, you don't have to. In other words, you don't have to assume that. You could say, "I found a cloak, I found a watch, I found a whatever," and then if the guy gives you a simon, then you simply return the item to him. Then the Gemara says, "Tanan Amar Es Aveda Velo Amar Es." So again, the opening line in this Mishnah said that if the guy just says, "I found item X, I found a watch, I found a cloak," but he doesn't give you any simanim, so then you can't return the item. So the Gemara explains, "E amar bishlama aveta machriz ha kamash malon afa gav de amar glima ki lo amar simanim lo mahadrinan le ella e amar glima machriz amar ihu glima va amar ihu glima tsricha le meimar ki lo amar simanim lo mahadrinan le." So the Gemara says that textually speaking, that first line in this Mishnah only reached it according to Rev Yehuda. Again, Rev Yehuda was the one who said that the guy who finds the item makes this very general announcement. I found the lost item. Okay, so there you can argue that, in other words, it's somewhat of a chiddush to say that the guy says, I found an item, you come and say it was a cloak, it was a watch, and then the Mishnah says, but if he doesn't give specific simanim, you don't return them. That's a chiddush. But if you're going to take the approach of Rav Nachman, that the guy who found the item is supposed to announce the specific item he found. He says, I found a cloak, I found a watch. And then you come and say, yeah, I lost a cloak or a watch, so then of course you don't return the item to me. He's not giving you any simanim, he's just parroting exactly what you said. So what exactly is the chiddush of that first line in the Mishnah according to Rav Nachman? In other words, if you're basically just repeating what the guy said who found the item. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar of Safra, li olam glima machris, amar ihu glima, the amar ihu simanim. Umay lo amar es simaneha, lo amar simanim muv hakin dida. Comes Rav Safra and says, no, we misunderstood that line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is assuming, like Rav Nachman, that yes, you as the finder make the specific announcement. You say, I found the cloak, I found the watch. And then the reason why you don't return it is that even though the person is giving you a simon, but he's not giving you a simon muvak, he's not giving you a clear cut or a definitive simon, he's giving you a very generic kind of a simon, something that, you know, 90% of watches have this on them, so that's not a good enough simon. He needs to give you something very, very unique, something which is unique only to this item, and since he's failing to provide that, therefore you do not return the item. Okay, then we said, if the guy is a Rama, he's a swindler, he's a trickster, even if he provides a simon, you do not return the item to him. So again, initially the halacha was, you lose an item, the guy comes, he gives a simon, he takes the item, and everyone goes home happy. However, Misharabu Haramayan, his skinu sheyuhu omrin lo, save how they aid and delav ramai at the toll. Once there was an increase in swindlers and tricksters, Chazal instituted that it's insufficient for a person to simply come and give a simon and take the item, because what if the guy's lying? What if he's a trickster? What if he somehow glimpsed the item and figured out that there was some kind of a marking on it? You have to bring Edim to prove that you're not a ramai, then you give the simon and then you take the item. And in fact, the Gemara has the following story. Kihad da avua de Rav Papa, Irkas lechamra ve'ashkehua. Rav Papa's father one time lost one of his donkeys, and some guy found it. Asa lekame de Rabba bar Rav Huna. He comes to Rabba. Amar le zil aisi sade de lav ramai advital. So you, Rav Papa's father, bring witnesses that you're not a trickster, that you're not a ramai, and then you can give your simanim and take your donkey back. So asa aisi sade. So he brings edim. Amar lehu yadisum be de ramaihu. So Rabba turns to these edim that Rav Papa's father brought and said, do you know that he's a ramai? Amar le in. They said, yes, we know that he's a ramai. So Amar Lahu, Ana Ramad, so Papa's father turns back to him and said, what, you think I'm a trickster? Amar Le, Anan Lav Ramai Akar Amrina. So they said, no, we thought Rabba was asking us whether you're not a Ramai. We misunderstood the question. So Amar Rabba Baravuna, Mistabra Lumaise in a Shchosel and Ashi. It makes sense to say that because people are not going to bring an Edom to basically implicate themselves. You're not going to bring an Edom to say that you're a liar and a cheater and a fraud. You're going to bring an Edom to say that you're a good guy. So the fact that the assumption is the Edom just misunderstood Rabba's question. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Kol Davar So the Mishnah is the following distinction. Let's say a person finds a lost item. Let's say he finds an animal, for example. Now he has to bring the animal in. So the question is, what do you do now? You have to feed the animal, you have to take care of the animal. How long does that obligation go on? You know, how much money do you have to expend to take care of this animal that you found? So the Mishnah says, basically it depends. If the animal or the item that you found is a type of a thing that the Mishnah calls osev ochel, that yes, it's true, the animal needs to eat. But on the other hand, the animal is going to work, the animal is going to plow, the animal is going to do whatever, and it's going to make you money back. So you're not really necessarily losing anything. So then the Mishnah says that you have an obligation to continue keeping the animal, feeding the animal, because again, he's giving you something in return. In contrast, if you found an animal that basically just needs to eat, but is not providing anything in return. Let's say the animal is too old to work, or the animal, whatever, is too ill, whatever it is. It's not able to provide anything in return. So then the halacha is that you have to sell the animal, because the pasuk says in Parshas Ki Seitse, v'hashevo solo, that you're going to return the item to him, to the guy who lost it. The Mishnah says, ra heich tishivenu lo, figure out a way to return the item to him. If it's not in your best interest, financially speaking, to hold on to this animal, then you have to sell it. So asks the Mishnah, ma yehe bedamus. Okay, let's say you sold off the animal. The animal wasn't producing anything for you, it was just costing you money. So now, what do you do with the funds once you sold the animal? So the Mishnah has a machlokas. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yishtamish Bahen Lefichachem Avdu Chayav Ba'acharayusan. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Yishtamish Bahen Lefichachem Avdu In Chayav Ba'acharayusan. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you are allowed to use that money. You can use those funds. Therefore, if the money gets lost, you are now responsible to replace that money and to compensate the owner, the guy who lost the animal. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, no, that you are not allowed to use that money. That money is reserved exclusively for the guy who lost the animal, and therefore if something happened to the money gets lost, so then you are not responsible, you are not obligated to compensate the owner of the animal that was lost. So asks the Gemara, Uli Olam, am I, let's say it's a type of an animal that actually works for you. In other words, you feed it, but it also plows your field, let's say. So the question is, what, I have to hold on to this animal forever and ever until some guy comes and claims the animal for me? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ad Yud Beis Chodesh, Tanya Nami Hachi, Kol Dover Sheosev Ochel, Kagon, Parav HaChamor, Metapel Bahen Ad Yud Beis Chodesh, Mikan Ve'ilach, Sham Demehen Umanicha. Basically, there are gradations depending on the type of animal, depending on how much or how little work it's going to do for you. That will determine for how long you have to hold on to the animal for before you sell it off, or before you make some kind of an assessment and have it appraised and sold off. So if you have, says the Brice, if you have, let's say, a para or a chamor, you found a lost ox or a lost donkey, so then you have to take care of it for a year, for 12 months. After 12 months are up, if no one's come to claim the animal, you make an assessment, and then you basically sell it off, and then you keep the money on the side. If it's a gullim usiyachin, which are basically like baby cows or foals, calves, you know, things like that, that are not as productive as the adult versions, so then you take care of them for 3 months, and again, after 3 months, you get them appraised, you sell them off, and again, you keep the funds on the side. And if they're avazin matarnagolim, geese and chicken, which are even less productive than the other two categories, you keep them merely for a month, and then after a month again you assess, sell it off, and keep the money on the side. So the Gemara points out the following. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tarnagoles kivehema gasa, that a chicken has the status of a large domesticated animal. What does that mean? Tanya nami hachi, Tarnagoles uvehema gasa, metapel bohen shneimasar chodesh, mikan ve'ilach sham demeyan umanicha. He says that chickens have the same status as large animals in the sense that you have to keep them and take care of them for up to a year, again, because they lay eggs, so they're also going to be productive for you. Then the Gemara says, "Agolim usiyachin metapel b'hen lam yom mikan ve'ilach sham demenu manichan avazin v'sar negolin v'chol dover shetipulo merube mischaro metapel b'hen shloshe yomim mikan ve'ilach sham demenu manichan." So in this version, Rav Nachman says that when it comes to the young calves and foals, the young animals, those you only take care of for a month, and then you assess them and sell them off and keep the money on the side. For animals that are like geese or chickens or any other animal where basically it's going to cost you more to keep the animal and take care of it than it would to sell it off, you're only obligated to keep the animal for 3 days, and after 3 days you assess it, you sell it off, and keep the money on the side. So asks the Gemara, Kasha agol musyachin, agol musyachin, avazin v'sar negolin, avazin v'sar negolin. We have a double contradiction here regarding how long is one obligated to keep the young calves and the foals and the chickens and the geese. Do you keep it for 3 days, for 30 days, for 3 months? So which one is it? So the Gemara says no. Agalim usiyachim, agalim usiyachim lo kashya. Had the raya, the had the fatuma. So in the case of the young calves and foals, there's no contradiction. It simply depends on whether you let the animals graze or whether you're trying to fatten up the animals. If you let the animals graze, so then they're basically self-sufficient. So then you have to hold on to them for a longer period, for up to 3 months, because you're not really doing anything. It's not really costing you much. But if the goal is that you have to fatten up these animals, that's going to cost you a lot more. So then you would only be required to keep them for up to a month. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Avazin v'sar negolin, avazin v'sar negolin, nami lo kashya, habirav reve habizutre." The same, in other words, the same can be said for the apparent contradiction between halachos regarding the geese and the chickens. Again, it just depends whether we're talking about larger or smaller animals. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, "Vesheino oseva ochel." He said, if you have an animal that's basically not productive, it's just sitting around waiting for you to feed it, so then you can just basically sell it off right away. Tana Rabbanan, Vahashivo Solo, Rahich Teshivenulo, Shalo Yachil Egel Agolin, Vesiach Lesiachin, Avazala Avazin, Vesarnagol, Vesarnagol. Basically, I'm not responsible as the person who found this lost animal to shell out all of this money to pay for this guy's animal when I'm not getting anything in return. The animal's not doing anything for me. It's just sitting around waiting for me to feed it. So I'm not responsible to do that. I can sell off the animal and keep the proceeds on the side until the person comes and claims the animal back for me. Okay, then we said, Mayehe Bedamin, Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Mishtamish. We quoted a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva regarding what to do with this money. Again, you have this animal. The animal's not doing anything. It's sitting around waiting for you to feed it. So it's going to cost you too much money, so you're allowed to sell it off. Now you have all this money sitting around. What are you supposed to do with the money? So we said that according to Rabbi Tarfon, you're allowed to use the money. Therefore, if something happens to the money, if it gets lost, you have to compensate the guy when he comes knocking on your door in 6 months from now saying, that's my animal. And you say, okay, I sold it off. I had the money. I lost it. I have to compensate him. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Says, no, you have no right to use that money. And therefore, if something happened to the money, got lost, you are not responsible to compensate the guy who comes knocking on your door. So the Gemara points out the following. Ad kan lo plige elokish hanishtamish bahen. Avalo nishtamish bahen im avdu pato. The Gemara just points out that this machlukas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is only referring to a case where you, as the guy who found the lost animal, was actually using the money. But if you never used the money, then even Rabbi Tarfon will agree that if the money gets lost, then you're going to be pater. So hopefully tomorrow,